Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pharrell with my good friend Tim Smith, longtime legendary New York writer, Daily News, and now the head of PR for Al Haymon. He's enormous in boxing, always was as a writer. That's when I got to know you, covering fights for all the years. I got to ask you, the changing of the guard from you from pen to PR... I remember my dad was an anchor man back in the 60s with CBS, and they went on strike, and he went to work for U.S. Steel as a PR man. And he used to always say he regretted not finishing what he started as a broadcaster and getting into the PR business, but he spent 45 years as a PR man and was hugely successful. What was the transition like for you from pen to PR?
Well, I mean, I got booted out of the newspaper business.
Brutal.
It was brutal. Yeah, we had massive layoffs and cuts and everything.
Still doing it.
And they're still doing it. The industry, the newspaper industry is in terrible
shape. Ruined it.
Yeah, it's in terrible shape. Let's face it, there are only a few newspapers that are hiring journalists now. But the transition for me has been sort of seamless, sort of painless, because I'm basically, even though I'm not writing articles, I'm coming up with ideas, creative ideas. I'm pitching them to other people. And the pain of that is that I'm not involved in the execution of doing it. I'm not involved in the physical, writing the story, doing the interviews and things like that. I still write a ton of press releases, but that's not the same. But, you know, I'm thankful every time I see the paycheck. That's basically the bottom line.
You get disgusted with what you've seen happen to newspapers like I have, because I still get two of them in my driveway. I still love the feel of it, the smell of it. I love reading. I loved the newspaper my whole life. And especially when you live in New York and there's so many great newspapers to get your hands on, does it disgust you what's happened to it?
I think frustrated is more appropriate for me, because I'm a newspaper guy. I got ink running through my blood. I mean, I've always wanted to be in newspapers. And it's just sort of frustrating to see what's happened to the industry and to know that it's never coming back to the day that it was. It's never coming back to Woodward and Bernstein. I mean, it's never coming back to the things that made us interested in reading the sports pages. Red Smith, Dave Anderson, Dick Young. It's never coming
back. Jim Murray.
It's never coming back to those days.
Sad.
And it really is sad. I mean, it's sad. It's tragic what's happened. And you would hope that you would find more people that are willing to invest in the product the way Jeff Bezos is invested in it in Washington. But the guy's a gazillionaire. And, you know, the same thing with the guy who invested in the...
His ex-wife's a gazillionaire now. She got the money now.
Maybe she can invest in the New York Daily News. Let's call her up.
Or in boxing. If you're a kid, like I went to Ernie Pyle School of Journalism at Indiana University, and I wanted to be a sportscaster and a sports writer. That was it. And great journalism school. You got Northwestern, Missouri, Indiana. There's others. What do you do now if you're a young kid going to college that wants to be a sports writer? How has it changed? And your future is so different now and so narrow compared to what it was back in the day.
Well, I think you just have to try to find a niche. And there are so many different niche things now, you know, with the internet, with Snapchat, with Twitter. You just got to sort of find a niche. People are doing podcasts now. People are doing blogs. So it's more...
You can't be a writer on Twitter. You can be a pain in the ass.
Well, sometimes that's all it takes, though, if you're holding truth.
If you have skill, and like you do, as a writer,
you want to do long form.
That's a joke.
You want to do long form things, and that opportunity is just very narrow, because now you have places like The Athletic. They really let their writers express themselves, and they're really a long form kind of place. You got Bleacher.
Have they tried to get you back?
No one.
I miss your columns. I miss your writing. That sucks that you're not, because that's how I fell in love with you, was reading your column. It sucks for me that you don't do it anymore. I mean, it really does. And you know that's true, because I followed you around here for 20 years.
Yeah, no, that's sincere. And I do miss it, but you have to move on. I don't know what young journalists are going to do. I can, in good conscience, tell a young journalist going to this business. You know, my daughter majored in journalism and communications at Rutgers, and she's in PR now.
So what did she say? It was like was it a dead end on every street to try to get into the business? And so she went a different avenue?
Her focus was sort of narrow. She wanted to be a magazine writer. She's a terrific writer. But there aren't any opportunities. There are probably fewer opportunities in magazines than there are in newspapers. And she could spend her time being a freelancer. But if you're not established in that industry in terms of having contacts and having written for publications or big-time publications, they're not going to sniff you. They're not going to give you an opportunity to even break the threshold of the door. So, you know, it's very frustrating. And that's why I was saying it's frustrating for me. You know,
I get the Daily News still, and I have no reason to get it because it sucks so bad. Like, I can't tell you what they did to that paper. They destroyed it. They made it a AP rag of just AP story. No offense to the AP, but their sports section is so bunk now. How can they live with themselves that they're trying to fool people into reading it?
Well, it's a corporate decision.
Bad decision.
It's a bad decision for the consumers of journalism and the consumers of sports and, you know, sports news in New York. But from a corporate business standpoint, it's what they wanted to do. They even fired the sports editor. So it's a rudderless sports section now. Have three or four writers that cover everything, which is impossible. So the stuff that they're asking them to cover, they can't cover it well because they have to try to cover so much. And it really is unfair to the writers that are there. You know, I know that they all want to keep their jobs and everything, but they can't do any quality work.
They got rid of Harp. And then I'm friends with old man Madden. He hated doing TV with me, but he found me to be a pain in the ass, which I am. His face would turn purple doing TV with me. He wanted to punch my face in. But I go to this restaurant he used to hang out at. Now he's living in Florida. But they still got him ragging like one day a week on baseball. He's back ragging with him.
Well, I think what they've tried to do there, I think they've tried to maintain some credibility by bringing in some legacy guys to write every now and
then. That's what they're doing.
Every now and then, so they can maintain some credibility.
That's a tease.
It's a bad tease, too.
It is.
It's a horrible tease because you're not going to get those guys' insight on a day-to-day basis, and those guys aren't really around the team. You know, the thing that I liked about the Daily News was all of their reporters were almost like embedded. They were always around the team. They always had good, solid inside information, and they wrote with authority, and they were entertaining writers, and that's what I liked. They had a passion for the sports that they covered. That's what I liked about the Daily News. One of the reasons that I went over to the Daily News as a sports section, I came over from the New York Times, which has never really had a passion for sports and the way that sports is covered, particularly not in New York. But they don't have that anymore. I mean, it's like the company that owns it now, they've ripped the soul out of, to me, the best sports newspaper in the country.
Is no longer even remotely considered good. So tell me, to transition back to the boxing end of it, so your gig now with Heyman, I mean, this guy is a monster in this business. He is huge, and he is making the biggest fights happen. Pacquiao, Broner, here we go. That's the least of them. I mean, this guy has done some huge things. What he's doing with fighters, what he's doing for boxing, to me, it's all good. I think it's great for the sport. Are you feeling the same way about it?
Yeah, he grew up the same way that I grew up, watching fights in the afternoon, watching fights on broadcast television. So, you know, he wants to bring it back and make it one of the legacy sports. He wants to make it like the NFL, like Major League Baseball, you know, like the NBA. Where people are just talking about the sport on a regular basis. Like, you would open up your show talking about the NFL and talking about the playoffs.
I opened with boxing all night, last night and tonight, I can tell you that.
Yeah, but he wants that to be part of the conversation all the time, where we're talking about boxers the same way that we're talking about, you know, NFL players and Major League Baseball players. He wants it to be, again, a fabric of the American sports scene. And, you know, I bought into that vision 4 years ago when I joined him, and I still see that. I mean, with the new deal that we have with Fox, getting
to see that deal with Fox pay-per-view, they've never done one, that they're doing Mikey and Errol, the Garcia-Spence fight in Dallas. I'm going to that. That's the fight of the year, if you ask me. That's delicious. That he got that on Fox, and that he got the NFL, in the middle of NFL games, they're talking, they're showing Mikey, and they're showing Errol, and they're showing boxing, in the middle of an NFL broadcast, to me, I almost fell over.
Yeah, and I think that's caught a lot of people by surprise, but it goes to show that other people are buying into his vision, that this can indeed be a sport that you can revive, because when you think about it, the sport has such a rich history. You know, John L. Sullivan, Jack Johnson, Jack Dempsey, you know, Muhammad Ali, Joe Louis, you know, Rocky Marciano. When you start thinking about the legacy of the sport and the tradition of the sport, it's such a rich history. And now you have an opportunity to create today's generation of stars, the next generation of superstars, so that 20, 30, 40 years down the road, people are going to be talking about the Errol Spences, the Mikey Garcias, the Keith Thurmans of the world, the Manny Pacquiao's of the world. They're going to be talking about them like we talk about Ray Leonard and Hearns and Hagler.
Those were the days. Those are the days for me. So someone asked me today, what was my favorite fight? And you know what my favorite fight was? Strangely enough, I was sitting next to, as you know, legend, fur coat, Frank DeFord, pimping the most at Caesar's Palace the night that fan guy crashed into that ring with Bo and Holyfield. I was there, and the minute it happened, I'm sitting next to DeFord, the guy crashes into the ring. I get up, I run backstage, I go on nationwide radio, 250 markets, and telling this crazy story. And then all of a sudden, I see Riddick Bowe's wife collapse, pregnant, and they roll her out on a gurney. And I'm like, Jesus, is this happening? And I'm live on the radio. That was my favorite boxing memory. Though I've been to better fights, I was at the Tyson Holyfield ear bite. I've seen a lot of them, Sugar Ray, Hagler, Hearns. I don't think they make them like they used to. They still make them, good fighters, but not like they used to. But that was the one I remembered the most in my 25 years of covering the sport.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was a crazy night. I think the one for me, the most memorable, and I've had several memorable fights, but I think one of the most memorable fights for me was just the night that Tyson fought Spinks in Atlantic City, because I've never seen a professional athlete just have sheer terror.
Destroyed it.
Yeah, but Spinks was terrified, and you could see the fear in his face, and I'd never seen that. Like, he was going to an execution, and I've never seen that.
He was at the Wilder Fury thing when they brought out all the old heavyweights. He was chilling the most. He was out there. They rolled him out, and
they had Bo. Had Big Daddy.
I had Bo on the show, Big Daddy, and they had a bunch of them there.
Lennox Lewis, Ernie Shavers.
Shavers is the one.
Ernie Shavers,
you remember him?
Yeah, I remember him. The Acorn.
So what do you think of Pacquiao Broner? I was sitting in the bar with Mafia last night looking at the odds. This is just me. The odds are terrible on this fight as a bettor. They really are. Like the 5-6 for a decision. I'm not wasting my time standing in that line. But when I saw, believe it or not, 15-1 for a draw, I was thinking, these two could actually go 12 rounds and draw. It could actually happen at 15-1. It's too easy to say decision. I don't think Manny's going to knock that kid out. I think he's a tough kid. I've seen him lose, but he's a tough kid. He'll counter all day with Pacquiao.
Yeah, I think it just depends on where Adrian is mentally. I see it as a 50-50 fight, and I'm not trying to sell the fight.
Me too.
I'm not trying to, you know, get anybody to buy the pay-per-view. I would love for people to buy the pay-per-view, but I see it as a 50-50 fight. I know people think that, you know, Manny's going to steamroll him, but I just go back to when Broner fought Maidana, and Maidana dropped him early and was just like,
I was there,
beating him from pillar to post, and how this guy bit down and came back and, you know, made it a fight. And then he didn't back, and he fought his way back. He didn't win the decision, but he could have easily been knocked out and just given up. But, you know, he's a tough kid. He's got a decent beard, and Manny's going to put pressure on him. So I think Manny's going to make him fight. And I think, and maybe I'm hoping more than thinking intelligently on this, but I'm hoping that he rises to the occasion and gives everybody an entertaining fight.
Will it cost him his career, his behavior in the game? Let's face it. He embarrasses himself every time he walks in a room. Like, he has so much talent, and he's wasted it with all of his BS out of the ring, on the streets, in the hood, wherever. He's doing stupid stuff. Do you think he'll ever make it in boxing with the way he's acted?
Well, it's gotten him this far. I mean, he's still is one of the fighters that gets the highest ratings on regular television
that.
When he fights. People follow him on Twitter. They follow him on Instagram. So he's still very popular. I don't know if he will ever conform to our standards of what good behavior is, because conforming to our standards of good behavior hasn't gotten him where he is now.
The other has.
And the other has, and there hasn't been a disincentive for him not to behave the way he is. But I hope that a level of maturity, you know, does take hold, and I hope it takes hold before he gets out of the sport. And I will use Mike Tyson as an example, because if you follow Mike Tyson's early career, you know, I go back to the statement by Larry Holmes that said, before he's 40, they're going to find him dead in an alley.
Right.
And now Tyson's over 50 years old.
Selling weed.
And he's selling weed. You know.
Doing Broadway.
Yeah, doing Broadway. And, you know, so we never thought we would see a mature Mike Tyson. Did it come after his career was over, after he faded? Yeah. Was it too late for him? Yeah. But you know what? In the intervening years, he did his thing, and he still was, you know, still is probably one of the most popular boxers ever.
That 30 for 30 on Buster was pretty cool.
Oh, that was a great documentary. I mean, that was just fantastic. And, you know, I still remember I was working in Cincinnati. I still remember driving up to the airport in Columbus, and they had the welcome home for Buster Douglas. And remember seeing Buster getting off the plane and walking.
I remember the night he fought him. I was in Pittsburgh. It was snowing. We had a blizzard, and I rolled my car down a hill and crashed with my buddy trying to get home to watch the fight. And these people helped us push the car out of the ditch. And in less than 5 minutes before the fight started, we got out, got home, turned the TV on, and the fight started. And then that 8th, 9th, and 10th round were one of the greatest three-round stretches I've ever seen in my life, because I wasn't obviously there. But to see those three rounds was sickening. The beating he put on him, because no one ever thought it could happen. It was crazy.
It was one of the most dramatic moments in all of sports history. Because, again, this guy was an unbelievable underdog, and nobody thought Tyson could be handled. I mean, he had that cloak of invincibility, like we were just talking about Spinks. Spinks was scared for his life when he walked in that ring. But you know what? When you have a guy that doesn't have anything to lose, and he goes into the ring and he puts it all on the line, this is what you have. And that's the drama that makes boxing sort of different than all others.
Lastly, do you think Mikey can go up two weights and beat Errol Spence, or is it asking too much?
I think it's asking a lot, but again,
he's a tough mother.
I'm not trying to get people to buy a pay-per-view fight or anything like that, but I look at that as a 50-50 fight. Mikey's very skilled, and people sleep on how good he is. And really, if the politics weren't involved, he would probably be number one pound for pound. Because when he left the game, he was like right behind Raul Marquez as number three. Floyd was number one, and Marquez was like number two, and, you know, Mikey was like number three. He was right there pound for pound, and, you know, he came back, and the guy didn't miss a beat. The guy came back and won a title at lightweight, and since then he's added a title at 140. And, you know, I believe in Mikey.
Me too. I love him.
I mean, Errol's a great boxer. He's probably the best welterweight in the game. But you know what? You can't discount a guy.
He's my favorite fighter. I think he's a badass.
Who has that kind of confidence and self-belief that he can go in there against anybody.
Hey, Smitty, it's always great seeing you. I love you. Congrats on the deal with Heyman. And I know you guys are doing a great job. And Bruce is in it, too, Binkow. Yeah. You guys are killing it. Keep knocking it out of the park. Great fights. That's all we want. I love you. I'm glad you're doing great.
Thanks for having me on, man, always.
All right, Smitty, Tim Smith with Heyman and PBC, my man, on the bench on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
All right, we're live in the Quicken Loan Studios in New York, and we're at the MGM in Vegas for Pacquiao. Broner National Mortgage Lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. One more win is all it takes for a ticket to Atlanta and Super Bowl 53 on CBS. Arguably the greatest of all time, Tom Brady leads the Patriots into Kansas City at Arrowhead to face the Chiefs and their sensational young QB, Pat Mahomes. Coverage of the AFC Championship game presented by Intuit TurboTax Live kicks off with the NFL today, powered by Ram Trucks at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific on CBS. Title games are Sunday. PharrellOnTheBench.com has you covered. Picks for everything, including Pacquiao Broner and UFC in Brooklyn. Cejudo, Dillashaw, all there. NBA every game, college rack every game, NHL every game, boxing, MMA, you get it all. At PharrellOnTheBench.com, it sets the standard. Sign up today. Hide the money you make from your wife. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. I wanted to tell you that we'll be back in Vegas a week from tomorrow, Saturday, on the 26th, Carver High and I are going in. We'll be doing 5 live shows at the D Casino, January 28th through February 1st. And then the biggest big game bash ever at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center is for the Super Bowl on the 3rd in Atlanta. We're in Vegas at the downtown Las Vegas Event Center, right across the street from the D. It's Caddy Corner, literally right out the valet. You're there. Free entry. All ages are welcome. Get a man cave or a table. Order it now at downtownwatchzone.com. This is the biggest party you've ever seen in your life for a football game. Believe me, you thousands of people, it's debauchery. It's the greatest thing you've ever seen. It's kick-ass. We'll be live all week at the D. Come see us. Get a room now downtown. Call the D immediately. I don't know what you're waiting for. Seriously. I mean, if you've waited this long, I'm very disappointed in you. I wanted to say this to you, that tonight, Carver High, I don't know if you're interested at all, but I was hot on the college basketball betting. I hit St. Louis minus 8 against St. Joe's. I hit Maryland on the road at Ohio State, and I think I was getting 3. I don't even know what it was. I thought I was laying points in that game, actually, but it may have been I was getting 2. It was plus 2. Ohio State ended up minus 3 when it tipped. Buffalo, minus 15. I had Eastern Michigan in the 15 points. They covered, and I had Buffalo winning. And so St. Louis to win and cover, Maryland to win and cover, Buffalo to win, Eastern Michigan to cover. I had Northwestern on the road at Rutgers, laying 1.5. They won 65-57 and covered, double cover there. Toledo against Ohio, I laid 8.5. And I covered there, 75-52, double cover. Nova to win. I had Xavier plus 10.5. They lose 85-75. They covered by the hook. So I went 6-0 perfect in college basketball tonight, Mafia. You like that?
I love that. Of course, we're in Vegas, the mecca of betting. How could you not love when you pick the games right every single way?
So the Penguins win in overtime. But Carver High's Islanders beat the Capitals tonight in D.C., and they take over first place in the Metro. Riding on the Metro. So, Carver High, tell me about the Islander win and Barry Trotz going back to haunt his Capitals.
Yeah, it was great. They played a nice little video for Barry, early in the first period. Welcome home. They rolled the red carpet out, and then he shoved it right down their throats. Big 2-0 win for the Isles. They played well again. They are now 7-0. On the second night of back-to-backs, if you could believe that.
So who scored for him in the 2-0 win?
Bailey had the first goal, and Clutterbuck had the second one.
Bailey's and Cream or Bailey, Banks, and Biddle?
Bailey, Banks, and Biddle.
Shake it. So you heard the rumor that we're going to see the Penguins tomorrow?
I did hear that rumor.
Penguins and Knights. I don't know if I said that on the air already, but there is a rumor we are going to the T-Mobile to see the game at the very least. Don't tell anyone, but we're going to have to slip out early so we can watch the Pacquiao-Broner fight. We got front row seats to Pacquiao, and it appears that we have creds for the Penguin night game. So I'll finally lose my virginity at the T-Mobile for a hockey game, Carver High. What do you think of that? After all these times you and I have been here and they haven't been in town, I get to not only see them play, but I get to see them play my beloved Penguins.
Yeah, it's a great venue for hockey. You're going to have a good time, and then you go across the street and watch the fight.
Your boy, Carver High Mafia, he went with me to the T-Mobile for the Mayweather-McGregor weigh-in, which was a scene in itself. Like, could you believe that, Carver High, the scene at that place that day?
I never seen anything like it.
I mean, it was crazy. What do you think, Mavi? Are you excited to go over there?
I'm very excited to go. I haven't gone. I've seen it from afar. You know, when we drive on the highways, I've seen it from the outside. I have not been there, been inside, or partaken any event there. So I'm excited to go see it. And, you know, Carver High will have to tell me which beers were good there, because I know he probably took a couple for that weigh-in.
Yeah, he had about 20. Canucks, I think, there's about 2 minutes left. They're up 4-3 on the Sabres in Vancouver. Panthers upset the Leafs tonight 3-1. Canadians 4-1 over the Blue Jackets. We told you the Islanders won, and the Flames beat the Red Wings 6-4. Senators over the Canes 4-1 in Raleigh, and the Penguins in overtime beat the Coyotes on a Kessel goal 3-2. I wanted to say I've been watching Boogie Cousins tonight, Carver High. I actually thought that he looked pretty good. I saw him. He had about 8 points, 5 rebounds in 12 minutes. And his problem was he picked up 4 fouls, and I thought a couple of them were cheap calls by the refs. I mean, he can't get a break in the paint. If he touches anybody, they call a foul on him. But I'm watching that Warrior team with him, and, I mean, he's not even in shape. I mean, I know he says he is because he's been, practicing and running with him and doing this and that, but he's finally in a game action, and it's different. But I saw him running the break and finishing. His first bucket was a tomahawk dunk, like an Andiamo tomahawk steak, and I thought it looked great. He nailed a 3 out on the wing. He got some rebounds. He was playing tough inside on the glass, and I thought he looked pretty good with him overall. I gave him a nice grade on his comeback tonight.
Yeah, you know what? The good thing for him is he's got 3 months, basically, to get into game shape, because their games mean absolutely nothing. So he's got 3 months to basically get there, get right, and by the time they get to the playoffs, they'll be 100%, and they'll be the wrecking machine that they are. So,
yeah, the Blazers are up with 8 minutes to go, 107-95 on the Pels in the Moda in Rip City. Celtics beat the Grizzlies 122-116 at the Garden in Boston. Pistons rallied to beat the Heat 98-93. The Nets win in Orlando 117-115. The Spurs beat the T-Wolves in Minnie 116-113. And the Jazz blew out the Cavs by 16, 115-99. Mafia, I think if my calculations are correct, wasn't that the game that I took 16.5 with the Cavaliers?
There was something like that. I think it was might have been 15. Yeah, it was 15 on that spread. They just covered,
15,
of course.
So I lost.
Just burned you on that one.
Yeah, go figure. Thank God I hit all the college basketball games. So call the show right now. What are you waiting for? It's your chance to talk. What do we got going on here, Mafia? Are we? Do we got Adrian Broner coming up?
Yeah, we'll talk to him for a few minutes as he's getting ready to fight.
But I can take calls now on the AFC and NFC title game. What are you waiting for? I know you're sitting around snapping tubes, smoking a cigar, chilling. Your wife ignores you. You're getting no relations. Call me up. Talk about the games. Rams, Saints, Pats, Chiefs, Arrowhead, and the Superdome on Bourbon Street. Where are the football fans? You got to be kidding me. It's championship weekend, and you femmes are going to bed early on a pain-free Friday. You got to be kidding me. It makes me sick to my stomach. Call the show now. I'm taking your calls. One by one, I'll put you on the air. All you have to do is pick it up, dial it, and dance. 855-212-4227. Let's go back to New York and get an update with Jay Berman.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so I talked to Adrian Broner, and he's getting ready to fight Pacquiao tomorrow night on Showtime Pay-Per-View. Call your cable operator right here at the Grand Garden Arena at the MGM. So if you're on hold, don't give up, because I only talked to him for a couple minutes, and then I'm getting right to the phones and taking your calls for the rest of the hour. So just listen for a couple minutes here to the problem, Adrian Broner. The only thing I remember, the first time I ever interviewed you, you hit me with a touch of gray, son. You got the touch of gray. You need to fix that hairdo, son. You said it wasn't looking good, son. You got to get the touch of gray, son. You got a lot of work to do. And I had a little area concern in there. I've done some work on it. Does it look better?
Yeah, it look a lot better.
Does it look a lot better? I had a lot of action going.
Yeah. You went to work.
I did. I got it done for you.
Yeah.
And here we are again with you going for another belt, son.
Let's do it.
Are you ready?
Of course I'm ready.
How do you feel? This is huge, man. I can't believe I walk in. It's rock star status. There's a ton of people here to watch you. They love to watch you on TV fight. You get ratings, and people buy tickets.
Just like they like to listen to you. They like to watch me.
I'm telling you. How do you like this one with the Pac-Man? It's going to be some heavy hands, son.
We've been around the Pac-Man. It's just this time we fighting.
I love watching you throw, son. I know you're going to throw.
Of course I'm going to throw, man. I ain't got no choice. He's going to throw at me.
So he's got 8. You got 4. You're stacking them up now, going for 5.
Of course, man. I got 4. I don't care how many he got. You know, I'm just worried about my career. After this will be 5 and plenty more to come.
How are we doing with the About Billions? I know you're loving your company. And how's the stacks coming? Are we getting the stacks up where we need them?
Of course, man. Of course. I wouldn't be in this position if we wouldn't. Because last time, you know, Bob Arum, he tried to shortchange me.
Tried to rip you off, son.
And it didn't happen. So this time the numbers is right. So we're going to have a hell of a fight.
Leonard and these guys know how to put on a show. And the fans love it. We're back at the Grand Garden Arena pimping. I love this. This is fight week, son.
Fight week, yes, sir. Bring your best outfit, bring your best company, and have a nice night.
Bring hotties. You got to bring a hottie to the fight, son.
Hottie with a body.
I'm telling you. So what are you worried about at all with this guy, with this experience? Sometimes they say those creepy old men, they got that old man strength and old man knowledge, and you got to worry about that old man stuff, son.
I ain't worrying about nothing. You know, I want him to be at his tip-top best. I want him to come in great shape. I want to fight the best Pacquiao. I don't want to fight Pacquiao, who they say that might be worn out. I want to fight the best Pacquiao.
And do you want a piece of Floyd, too, when this is done?
I'm not here to talk about Floyd Mayweather. To my recognition, he's retired.
So he's done, and you're still having fun.
Yes, sir.
Well, good luck Saturday, brother. It's good to see you. I'm glad I cleaned up my dude for you.
All right, thank you.
You're looking good, brother.
All right, thanks.
All right, Adrian Broner, About Billions, rocking and rolling on Saturday night on Showtime Pay-Per-View. Like you read about, baby. So, how about them apples, Mafia? Little Adrian Broner, the problem, hanging out with your boy Uncle Futrelli.
Much cooler than he was the first time we hung out with him when we were here for the Sean Porter fight. He was kind of a tool then. Not even kind of. He was a tool then.
He was a D.
He's been a tool for most of his time in the spotlight here, but it was really cool with you there.
He was a lot nicer, so I'll give him credit.
I think once he saw that, you know, you were cool with Leonard, he's like, all right, this guy's, he's on the level.
Yeah, that helped a lot. JJ in Phoenix, you're on CBS Sports Radio. I'm taking your calls now. Call in, you'll get on the air if you get lucky. Here we go.
Yeah,
JJ, hey. Shake out.
Hey, love you, man. Love you. Long time listener. Hey.
Thanks, bro.
Real quick, pick your brain. I know it's bigger than this, but Sean Payton versus Wade Phillips. I feel like Payton, he's had the upper hand this last time. Last year, not so much. A little closer game last year. Regular season battle, obviously, playoffs a little different. I know it's bigger than that. Maybe you can expound a little bit if you have any other further insight as to their battle and your opinion on that.
Well, I think it's a great point by you. It's the first time anybody has said anything to me all week that smart. I think that this is really what it boils down to is that you're talking about one of the really good, solid, top shelf, you know, defensive minds that we've seen in the league in the last, you know, decade at least, maybe longer for sure. He's been doing it longer, but over the last decade and a half, I think that Wade Phillips has proven that he's a badass when it comes to a defensive game plan and you know, shutting somebody down. I think that he can do a number on Payton. I think, listen, I respect Sean Payton. He's got a Super Bowl ring. I respect Drew Brees. Together, they got it done. And I've always said on this show since day one, if you win a championship at any level in professional sports, there's no taking it away from you. You can talk all you want about somebody, talk bad about them, hate them, dislike them, not root for them, think they suck, all the rest. But the bottom line is when you win a championship and you get a ring and a trophy, you're etched forever in the history and the annals of the league. And I think that Sean has done it, and so has Drew. But this guy, Wade Phillips, is certainly capable of putting together a game plan to stop them. And I think we're going to see it's going to be, you know, strategic. It's going to be, you know, one strong defensive mind against an offensive juggernaut who I think has, you know, frankly, struggled a bit lately. Anyone that thinks that he didn't struggle against Philly is imagining things. I thought, you know, they got it done. Frankly, luckily, I thought they got lucky on the pick. It went through Jeffrey's hands, and the guy was standing perfectly at the right angle. It was like a math. I felt like I was at algebra class, the way that thing redirected into the, Saints' hands and how they finished that game out. I thought they got lucky. Bottom line is, listen, I respect them. I think they're good. I think they're tough. I think they can win. I think the Saints can clearly go to the Super Bowl. Obviously, you're at this level. But to write off the Rams like they're not good or that they can't win this game, you got to be tripping. Nathan in Michigan, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me, Pharrell. I really appreciate it. Haven't listened for too long. Really appreciate the show.
Thanks, bro.
Hey, I just wanted to call and share my excitement for this AFC title game. Not to put any shade on the NFC one, but this Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes, young versus old, the overhead implications that it has for the Patriots dynasty. Not that it will ruin it, but a lot of people would think it would close the book on it. And not even to forget what happened to the Patriots in the Super Bowl last year with Tom Brady, and everybody's doubting him this year. He's old. Father Time's caught up to him. The excitement I'm having over here is just uncontainable. I think it's going to be an absolute fabulous showing between the two teams. I think in order for the Patriots to have any chance, they're going to have to score with them. And there's going to be some fireworks. And your show has a lot of character, and it's very unique. And I'm excited just to have time on the air with you guys.
Well, listen, I'm glad you're excited, and I think you should be. I think it's a great game on the surface, you know, on paper, you know, the buildup, the hype. It's all very electrifying. I think that, you know, I got to be honest with you. I do think it'll be the better game. I think both games are really good. This is, you know, some people think the best Final Four ever. But, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that. I just think that it's people are in the moment and they're like, wow, this is the greatest NFC and AFC championship games ever. There's been, you know, phenomenal title games in the history of the NFL. And I think that you could argue there's many that were better. We don't know these games are going to be great. They just look great. I mean, on the front end, it looks like, you know, fantastic football is on the table for Sunday, that we're going to see these dynamic games. We thought that last week, Mafia, and the game sucked.
It did suck. It was very surprising. You thought that this was going to be the year. We keep picking it. We keep expecting it to happen, and they just keep embarrassing us. Hopefully this isn't the one. Hopefully this is one that we finally get this right and say this is a time that he is done.
I want to see a game, like, frankly, that was like that 54-51 Rams-Chiefs or that Pats-Chiefs 43-40. If I see anything like that, I'll be my appetite will be satisfied. Scott in Massachusetts.
Hey, bud. How's it going? Been listening
what
to
up,
you for
kid?
About a month. Last week, you had me dying laughing with the experience from the New England reporters over here. Listen, man, I'm about 25 years old. I've enjoyed a barrage set of freaking riches for New England Patriots. Hey, man, they don't win another Super Bowl, I'll be, you know, we won five, but they win more, I'll be great. But, hey, you know what I'm saying? They're going out at least on top, at least I think. So whether it's this year or next year, he's going out with the Lombardi Trophy in his hands. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, man, I think that anyone that's a fan of the Patriots, their cup's been filled. I mean, there's nothing in life. I can tell you from experience, all right? So here's the deal. You got five. The Steelers have six. So I'm a Steeler fan, and I've spent my entire life watching them win Super Bowls. And you win six of them, you got more than anyone. One more than the Pats. One more than all of them. Cowboys, Niners, they're all going to catch them, obviously. That day's coming. I think, you know, their reign will end. But, look, when you win five or six of them, what more do you need in life? I've seen the Penguins win five Stanley Cups. I've seen the Pirates, you know, they've won more than two, but I saw them win two. I was a little kid, but I wasn't that little. At 71, I was little, but in 79, I was, you know, 15 years old or something like that. All I know is I've seen it all, and it's very satisfying and gratifying to be around champions and teams that are great. In Boston, you know all about it. With the Celtics, Red Sox, and the Patriots, life is good. And the Bruins even have got it done. So there's nothing in your young life at 25 that you haven't seen already. So you're ahead of the curve, bro. You got nothing to worry about. Believe me, you. Do I have time, Mafia? Real quick. No, do not have time. Mafia's shutting me down in Carver High as well. So what we'll do is, here's what we got left on the show. We're going to hear from, I'm going to take a lot of calls the rest of the way, all right? So the last hour of the show, we're going to dedicate to you, the fans. Call in. Don't be a femme. Pick up the phone. Get on the bench. Wax up. Wax off. Chug, shot of beer, and banana, 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 shot of beer, and banana. And then we'll hear from Chris Lights Out Lido and Dave Feldman. They run bare knuckle fighting. That's what Mafia and I are going to do after the show tonight. We're going to go out in the back of the MGM and we're going to punch each other in the face with bare knuckles.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.